Let's read together Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Now in this first half of Haggai chapter 1, the restored nation of Judah is exhorted to set their priorities in order and complete rebuilding the temple. Haggai chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, This people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this house or temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord." All right, let's begin this first half of Haggai chapter 1 with some background notes. Do you say Haggai or Haggai or Haggai? How do you pronounce it? Well, you remember we went through this for Habakkuk too. Is it Habakkuk, Habakkuk, whatever? It really doesn't make that much difference. Haggai is probably closer to the way the Hebrews pronounce it. But I'll be saying Haggai probably. But you can say whatever you want, all right? Haggai is a post-exilic minor prophet. Post-exilic minor prophet. Now, what do we mean by these terms? Well, Haggai is a minor prophet not because he's less spiritual or less inspired than the major prophets. Remember, the major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. No, he's considered a minor prophet because he wrote a short book. In fact, Haggai is the second shortest book in the Old Testament. The shortest, Obadiah, another minor prophet. Haggai is a post-exilic minor prophet because he comes after the exile. That is, after the 70-year captivity of the Jews in Babylon. In 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians conquered the kingdom of Judah. They destroyed the magnificent Temple of Solomon, and they took the Jews captive to Babylon. Then in 539 BC, Babylon fell to the Persians. And in 538 BC, Cyrus, the Persian emperor, issued a decree allowing the Jews to return to their homeland and even rebuild their temple. About 50,000 Jews returned at that time under the leadership of a man named Zerubbabel and Joshua, or Jeshua, the high priest. You can see that in verse 1. Most likely, Haggai the prophet returned to Jerusalem at this time. Now, the first thing the people did when they returned to the land was, what do you think the first thing they did when they got back, all the way from Babylon? The first thing they did was good. They rebuilt the altar, all right? They rebuilt the altar for sacrifice, and then they laid the foundation for the temple. This was a time of great rejoicing, and we read about it in the book of Ezra. I'm reading Ezra chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. "When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid." That's the foundation of the temple. Ezra chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. But then opposition and threats from the surrounding Persian provinces caused fear and discouragement, and the work of rebuilding the temple was halted. It was stopped. Look over at Ezra 4, verse 24. Ezra 4, verse 24. "Thus the work of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem, ceased, And it was discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So the work of rebuilding the temple was delayed for about 15 years. Meanwhile, now we come to where the people are doing the wrong thing, building their own houses, right? Meanwhile, the people lost interest and became more interested in building their own houses than building the house of the Lord. Their priorities were backwards, like many people today have reverse priorities. Well, it was at this point that God raised up Haggai to preach a series of fiery sermons designed to motivate the people to reorder their priorities and finish rebuilding the temple. The Lord also raised up the prophet Zechariah at this time, as we see in Ezra chapter 5, verse 1. Let me just read that verse. Then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophets, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. Well, there's so much more we could give for background here, but I think that's enough before we now move on to the doctrinal or teaching points for this first half of Haggai 1. In other words, what is God teaching us here? This is God's word. What is God teaching us? All right? Doctrinal point number one, a believer's first priority should not be dwelling in paneled houses. A believer's first priority should not be dwelling in paneled houses. Verses 3 and 4, once again. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple or house of the Lord to lie in ruins? Anyone here have a paneled house? I'm so sorry. Well, here's the question. Is the Bible teaching here that it's a sin to have a paneled house or it's a sin to have paneling in your house? No. The point of the passage is not the matter of paneling, but the matter of priorities. The people were building nice houses to dwell in, but meanwhile, the house of the Lord was in ruins. This was wrong. Didn't they care about the work of the Lord? Where were their hearts anyway? It was time to straighten out their priorities. Now, the Lord would say the same thing to us today. Are you concerned more about building and beautifying your own house than in building the house of the Lord? Good question, right? Where is your heart? Where are your priorities? Now, when we say the house of the Lord today, we mean more than just the physical building of the church. We mean the work of the Lord in general. The temple in Haggai's day was the focal point of the work of the Lord. Illustration. You know, a few weeks ago, Margie and I were given a tour of a new house that a retired couple was building. It was a very nice house, and it was quite obvious to us that this was their top priority, the top priority of this couple. Their life savings were going into this house. Well, this was not a Christian couple, so it was understandable why this was their number one priority. I mean, what more did they have to live for? But unfortunately, there are Christians who have the same set of priorities. Their homes and living the good life are more important than the work of the Lord. Well, how is it in your life? I mean your priorities. Not the way you think they are, but how they really are. We all like to think our priorities are in order, right? We all like to think we're making the Lord more important than our dwellings. But are we really? A believer's first priority should not be dwelling in paneled houses. Doctrinal point number two. A believer's first priority should be doing the work of the Lord. A believer's first priority should be doing the work of the Lord. Verses 7 and 8. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. It wasn't wrong for the people to have nice houses, then or today. The Bible is not teaching here that Christians should live in shacks. No. Again, it was the matter of their priorities. They were not doing the work of the Lord. Dwelling in their beautiful houses was more important to them than doing the work of the Lord. Well, what was the work of the Lord? The work of the Lord for them at that time was to go up to the mountains and chop down trees and bring the lumber to Jerusalem and get on with the job of rebuilding the temple, the house of the Lord. Notice that the Lord said in verse 8 that if they would do this, he would be pleased and he would be honored and glorified. Well, let me ask you this morning, do you want to please and glorify God? Well, you can. How? Do the work of the Lord. Doing the work of the Lord means getting involved in some kind of service for the Lord. I know a lot of Christians that are church attenders, but they are not workers or servers. No Christian should be so programmed out that there isn't some time for some kind of service for the Lord. Hey, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you're a believer here this morning, we're going to answer for what we've done with our lives. What about family? Doing the work of the Lord means spending time building up your children in the faith and grandchildren. That's our category now, right? Again, I know a lot of Christians that spend time getting their kids involved in good things like soccer and Little League and music and computers, etc., etc. But what about time building the children up in the faith? Not just on Sunday. Is family devotions a priority in your family? Do you really want to please God and glorify God? A believer's first priority should be doing the work of the Lord. Now, what about practical application for this first half of Haggai 1? Don't put your money into a bag with holes. Don't put your money into a bag with holes. Verse 6, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Picture a person carrying a bag of hard-earned money over their shoulder, but the bag has holes in it, and the money is slipping out through the holes. What a sad picture of futility. Is that you in the picture? Illustration. You know, I remember soon after I got out of graduate school, I had a good-paying job, and we bought a pretty nice house. And I confess, I got into this beautifying the home syndrome. I spent a lot of time on our house. Well, I'll never forget flying home from a business trip and looking out the window of the plane and realizing that this commercial flight was about to fly right over our neighborhood. So I strained my eyes to see if I could see our house, and there it was, sure enough. I could see it, but it was so small. And then all of a sudden it hit me. I'm sure the Lord was speaking. Dave, you're putting all kinds of time and money into that little piece of real estate that you can hardly see. Get the big picture. Don't put your money into a bag with holes. 100 years from now, what's really going to matter? 1 John 2:17 says, the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. I will never forget that experience. And I hope you never forget the illustration. Don't put your money into a bag with holes.